This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger.
Here we go. It is hour three of the Daily Tip for BetQL, presented by BetMGM on a Friday, and we call it Wagertainment because we want to make sure you have the information you need to make the wagers and bets so you can win some money, but also have a good time along the way. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Chelsea, I'm watching you right now on our video feed, and you seem confounded by something. What in the world is going through your head?
Yeah, I'm looking at the League Fits Twitter, which is a Twitter account that is dedicated to some of the outfits for NBA players. And of course, last night was a banner night for League Fits because it was the NBA draft. So a lot of these guys were putting their best foot forward. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know who made a ton of money this last week? Tailors. Because think of all these suits that tailors had to specially make for these guys that look like, you know, praying mantises and avatars and dinosaurs. Because like some of these guys, you forget how freakish their body frames are. Like they're 7 feet with wingspans of like 9 foot, 9 inches. Like the guy from Duke, Williams, I forget his first name, but they were talking about his wings or his reach was 9 feet, 9 inches. And I'm like, how tall is a basketball goal? Like this guy's just going to be, you know, just tipping it in. So it's crazy how big these humans are. So it's funny to see them in suits and thinking of like normal suits, they probably don't fit these guys.
Well, coming up in a couple minutes, we'll talk about some other big men this time in the NFL, as we look at win totals and who might make a big leap this season. Paolo Banchero, did you see what he wore? He looked like a shiny grape. He had a purple suit on. It was all blinged out. He had this crazy huge medallion wrapped around his neck. I don't mind being fashion forward, but for me, I'm like, a purple suit blinged out? I don't know. He looked like Willy Wonka to me.
Yeah, that's the thing about fashion that I don't understand. I feel like sometimes you're just trying to look like out there and crazy and as wild as you possibly can. But I will say when it comes to fashion, I feel like the NBA is the most like fashion forward of most of the leagues, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All of them try to be fashionable.
Oh, yeah. Whether it's wearing like a towel and some Crocs as they're walking the free
Draymond.
Game. I mean, it's crazy some of the things that you wear. Now, did you see what Jabari Smith wore? He looked sharp because he had a suit that was Auburn colors, and then he popped open his jacket, and it had different pictures of him from when he played in college. That was really sharp.
I was a little disappointed by the lack of hats. I'm looking at this League Fits, and it's Samaki Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing like a cowboy hat or a derby of some sort.
It's a white derby when he came out of Louisville. That's a famous one. All white suit and a white derby. That guy looked like he was about to go on a press tour or something. Crazy looking.
Well, and then also, like, League Fits is tweeting out all these guys, but they don't have the names. And that's something else I noticed last night. I follow college basketball very closely, and I didn't know who half these people were. Did you find yourself, like, thinking, who is this person?
Yeah, it wasn't the biggest name draft we've had. After, like, the first 5-6 guys, I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I mean, I knew, but I didn't. Particularly when we got in, like, the bottom half of the top 20 picks, then I was having to research and say, now, who is this guy again? It just wasn't as star-laden as we've seen in previous years.
Well, it's just not how the NBA draft works because a lot of it's about projectability. And think of the biggest stars in the NBA. Like, they had a graphic. A lot of great picks in the NBA were not even lottery picks. They were showing all the guys that were some of the later picks of the first round, and a lot of them were superstars. So it's not just the college superstars who dominate the NBA. Like, some of them go on to be good players, but it's not just, you know, the guys that went to Kentucky or Duke that are, you know, manning the NBA finals. So you can find a lot of guys that you never have heard of. Like, Damian Lillard went to, what, Weber State?
Oh, did he? I did not realize that. The last guy I always think about before we move on to the NFL when it comes to fits and the NBA draft is Jalen Rose. Look up Jalen Rose, what he wore. He wore a red suit with white pinstripes. So that thing definitely stood out. And that's always just been kind of frozen in my mind. This is the Daily Tip from BetQL presented by BetMGM. She's Chelsea. I'm Jinx. All right, let's go to the NFL because yesterday, Jim Trotter from NFL.com wrote an article discussing which five teams will make the biggest net gain in victories from last season. So we're going to debate three of those picks, play Love It or Fade It, and bring in our producer, Double D.
Love It or Fade It.
Jenks, you bring up Willy Wonka, and all I think of is, Palo, Palo, what did you do? Purple looks like El Toro poo-poo.
Ooh.
Oh, very nice, sir.
And that's my Duke there, boy. I can't believe I'm saying that about my Duke guy. So, yeah, not looking really good. Some of the choices are always kind of, you kind of cock your head to the side and go, really? Really?
But that's much what there. Fashion is. They're just trying to make a statement.
A bad
Well,
one?
They do it.
Yeah.
They did it. They made the statement, all right. There's always, it's like, there's everything in moderation. Like, I appreciate fashion forced. Listen, I should just stop talking. I'm 48. What do I know about fashion? All right. I'll put on a double-breasted suit, throw in like an old pocket square. I'm like, this is how the kids should be dressing. I have no clue.
Yeah. I'm also the guy that like mostly wears, you know, sweatshirts. So yeah,
right.
Not much there either. All right. Let's transition to the NFL. First up, let's take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went 3-14 in 2021. Doug Peterson has taken over for the dysfunctional Urban Meyer, understatement. This is a team battling its own history, having just one winning record since 2007. They have QB Trevor Lawrence coming into his second year. They drafted Trayvon Walker, number one overall. So the question is, was it Urban Meyer holding back Jacksonville, or is it Jacksonville holding back Jacksonville? Jim Trotter says they can win five more games this season. Love it or fade it, Jenks. The Jags can get to 8 wins this season.
No. The Jags can get to 8 wins? No, they cannot. They are not getting to 8 wins. Their win total is set at 6.5, and it's juiced to the under, and rightfully so. Here's the thing. Urban Meyer was an unmitigated disaster. And I'm glad he's a bad human. So I'm glad he failed with the Jags. But the thing that I would worry about here is not just the fact that they don't have much talent, but that this is sort of a reset year for Trevor Lawrence. Clearly, quarterback play is key in the NFL. And I didn't see him develop last season. And he couldn't because Urban Meyer was all over the place, making bad coaching decisions, not playing players who should have been starting because they would fumble the football or make one mistake. So to me, this is a complete reset and a chance for Doug Peterson to bring along Trevor Lawrence the right way. Plus, when you look at that division, you got to play the Colts and the Texans, who are going to be very good in the upcoming year. Yeah, the Texans suck, but outside of that, the Jags just don't have enough on the table, don't have enough talent-wise to get near to 8 wins. I would fade that all the way to the bank.
Yeah, I'll fade it just because I think 8 is too high. However, I do think the Jags could be due for a bounce back year. And maybe a bounce back year isn't 8 wins. But when you go from one of the worst teams in football, like even improving your win total, you know, doubling your wins should be a big deal. Because in the NFL, like it's hard to make that kind of jump. But if there's ever a buy low spot on a team that has a quarterback that at least has potential, like maybe this is it. Because in the sports betting world, you always have to look at teams that nobody else wants to back and say, what's the case for this team to actually be good? And I will say last year, despite Urban Meyer, this is a Jags team that usually covered the spread against some of their divisional opponents. Most notably, remember that last game of the season against the Colts? And a lot of that was Carson Wentz, you know, just sabotaging. But still, I don't think the AFC South is going to be quite as tough as it was last year, just because I don't think my Titans are going to be as good next year. But still, looking at this Jags team, if you still believe that there is any ounces of talent left in Trevor Lawrence, and now that he has a coach who's not, you know, one of the worst coaches we've seen in recent history when it comes to culture, when it comes to game planning, he didn't even know what players were on the field. So I think maybe we see a better season for Trevor Lawrence because, you know, there is some talent there. He was a first overall pick for a reason. He was great in college. So maybe they win six games, but eight, I think that's asking for a little too much.
I completely agree. Eight is too much. I do think they take a step forward this year, although they made a huge mistake in paying Christian Kirk what they did. That was a horrible, horrible sign money-wise. For me, it comes to the fact that Trevor Lawrence is getting one of his best weapons back for his quote-unquote rookie year in Trevor Etienne. I had Etienne.
Travis Etienne.
I had him higher than Najee Harris when they came out last year. I think he will make the difference if he stays healthy. He makes a difference. I still don't think they make it to eight. Chelsea's right. The division is weaker this year, but I would say six, maybe seven at the most, but fade eight. There's no way there's eight coming their way this year.
No way.
Next, we go to Detroit. Gambling favorites for going 7-2 against the spread the last 9 weeks of the season. The Lions are looking to improve from their 3-13-1 record. Coach Dan Campbell has them biting ankles, and Jared Goff is a passable quarterback. Add the first rounders Aiden Hutchinson on D and Alabama's Jameson Williams at wide receiver, and the Lions are interesting. Chelsea, love it or fade it, the Lions will win seven games this season.
I'm going to fade it. And once again, I'm the negative person on this show, but we all love the storylines with the Lions, and everybody wants to root for Dan Campbell because he's such a character and the way that he gets his guys going. But like, they were a great story last year and they only won three ball games. So I get it. Now he's not a rookie head coach. Maybe he has figured some things out. And I will say, at least they have a decent, mediocre quarterback in Jared Goff, who has played in a Super Bowl, because that's half the battle. You need a quarterback who can at least be a game manager. But like I said, it is extremely difficult to double your win total if something doesn't change at one of the key positions. So they still have Jared Goff. They've got some interesting pieces, but I don't know. We keep saying that, oh, maybe the Packers are beatable this year. They still have the two-time defending MVP at quarterback. And looking at the games in which they didn't have Davante Adams, what were they, 6-0, 7-0 without Davante Adams? So I know he is a huge hole that they have to fill, but still, it's the Packers' division to win. So I think the Packers still beat up on the Lions. I know that's not a hot take, but don't fall in love with the storylines. Because, yes, they're going to be a lovable public underdog, but maybe bet on them game by game. But still, don't fall too in love with just storylines.
I'll fall in love with the storyline. I love it. Absolutely love. I'm in love with the Lions. Love it. Love it, Chelsea. I am on board because the Lions are a fascinating team. They've been so bad for so long, but they finished the year, as Double D was talking about, 7-2 against the number in the last 9 weeks, which means they were being competitive relative to what Vegas thought they were going to do, and they just don't quit. So now they have this infusion of talent. They're very talented, more talented than you might think offensively, but more than that, Aiden Hutchinson, I think, is going to be an absolute difference maker for a defense that needs him. They need a game-changing talent like him coming off the edge. And all of the early reports are that he's been absolutely fantastic in OTAs, more athletic than they anticipated. And they've done a good job of drafting, put a talent in place. They just need Jared Goff to sort of drive the car. When you look at that division, I do think the Packers are going to take a step back. I absolutely never trust Kirk Cousins. He always underperforms. The Bears aren't going to be great. Yeah, I'm on the Lions. I love it.
Let the love fest continue. I am also absolutely in love with the Detroit Lions. I'll go offensive side when we're talking about rookies, Jenks, and talk about how Detroit has been absolutely gushing over the progress of Jameson Williams coming off his injury and everything. And they think at 75%, which is where he's about right now, he's looking even better than most of the wide receivers in the NFL, is what I've heard. That being said, Detroit last year was one of those teams that played close games almost all year long and just didn't have that winning mentality. So I'm looking for that winning mentality this year to take over. They win some of those close games that they lost last year, and I actually have them making the playoffs.
Ooh.
So, yes, love the Detroit Lions. We have the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Last year, the Jets finished just 4-13, but many analysts say they had a great draft on both sides of the ball with Garrett Wilson at wide receiver and Sauce Gardner at corner. So can the Jets go from 4 wins to 8 this year? Love it or fade it, Jenks.
I'm fading this. No way. 8 wins? The Jets? Are you serious? I will say this. The Jets had an amazing draft. Seriously, if you're a Jets fan, you have to be jacked, because not only did they get Wilson and Gardner, don't forget about Jermaine Johnson, the second out of Florida State, coming off the edge. The Jets crushed the NFL draft. However, these are still rookies, and it's easier to have an impact if you're an edge guy or your receiver or even a corner than it is a quarterback. So I say that because I got to see more out of Zach Wilson. I like the consistency that they have. I like that Robert Saleh is installed as their head coach. I think he's going to be the right guy eventually. It's just too early for me to say the Jets of all teams can go from 4 to 8. So I have to fade this.
Yeah, this is an easy fade. From 4 to 8 wins, that's a huge increase. I'm not sure what the math is, but what is that, 100% when it comes to increases in wins?
Yes.
Like, 4 to 8 wins is a big jump, because like 4 to 6, that's one thing. And I think the line is 5.5 for the Jets right now. So maybe that is a more palatable jump in wins, but like, it's not a completely different team. Yeah, you drafted well, but still, these are rookies. I don't think it's fair to put this on their plate and say, hey, we need to double our wins. It's on you, brother. Because unless you have a new quarterback or a new person that's at a position that is, you know, so noteworthy that you can really change your offense, like, that's the only way you make these huge jump in win totals. Because, you know, looking at the Bengals before they got Joe Burrow, they were terrible. But Joe Burrow is a generational talent at quarterback, the most impactful position on the field. So that's how they increase their win total. Am I supposed to believe that Zach Wilson is going to turn a corner next year? Last year I was watching games and he would hit receivers in the back of the head, and it was just embarrassing, and he wouldn't even get the passes there half the time. So unless they have a different quarterback, it's a no from me, dog.
I also am going to fade this. They are in the same division as the Buffalo Bills, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and probably the most improved offseason team offensively in the Miami Dolphins. So, yeah, Zach Wilson would have to turn into Peyton Manning or, I don't know, let's say,
or even
Patrick
Jared
Mahomes.
Goff. Like, just mediocre is a lot for him. That's
yeah,
a big jump.
That's it would take that kind of jump for me to believe in 8 wins, and that's saying a lot. They right. do have a nice base, but yeah.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.